Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Welcome to our two-part series about the name of Jesus. This is part two. In the event that you missed part one, which was very powerful and delivered on last week's broadcast, you can play that portion on our website at caclive.net. That's caclive.net. Just click on the audio option in the menu at the top. This is a wonderful message preached by Pastor Raymond Woodward of Fredericton, New Brunswick, Canada. He preached this message on the power of the name of Jesus and the meaning and the glory of the name of Jesus at the annual General Conference of the United Pentecostal Church International.
Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. You can be seated. When God said, I am, that Hebrew name comes from four consonants. Yod, He, Vav, He. It's Hebrew, of course, reads the opposite direction from English, from right to left. That's called the Tetragrammaton. Ancient Hebrew was written only in consonants, and so those who read it aloud, they supplied the vowel sounds. And to roughly translate that name into English, there's really no completely accurate translation. We just have to say the eternal. And instead of YHWH, Yahweh, sometimes later the development in our language was JHVH, and we say Jehovah. It's all the same name. Represents the same God. Now the Jews, after the captivity in Babylon around 450 BC, when they came back, they realized that God had been unhappy with them and allowed their nation to go into captivity, and so they became almost paranoid about blaspheming the name of God. They took extreme positions on scriptures about blasphemy, and they began to do something really, really strange. They began to outlaw the use of the name of their own God. First, they outlawed saying the name among the common people. Later, they expanded that and said, well, even the priests, we better be careful. They shouldn't say this holy name, Yahweh. And then, finally, they passed a law about 300 years before Jesus. They passed a law that said even the high priest was not allowed to speak the name of God aloud. When Simon, who was the last high priest that we know who used the name of God, when he died in 270 BC, they passed a total prohibition against speaking the name of God aloud. They used a substitute word, Adonai, which meant Lord. And so when they were reading in the sacred scripture and they would come to that holy name, they wouldn't dare say it. They'd say Adonai, Lord, the substitute word. And the congregation would respond, Hashem, the name. They knew it was there, but they wouldn't speak it. What a ridiculous proposition that the people to whom God had given such a powerful revelation were ashamed and embarrassed and afraid to speak His name aloud. But that is exactly what's so striking about John's gospel. Because all of a sudden, out of the blue, a carpenter from Nazareth begins walking the streets using the name that no Israelite, no priest, and not even the high priest has spoken for nearly 300 years. And all of a sudden, this Jesus is using that holy name as though it's His own name. You know why He did that? Because it was His own name. He had a right to speak that name. When Jesus said, I am, He wasn't using a pronoun and a verb. He was using the ancient, holy name of God, first revealed to Moses at the burning bush. And when Jesus used that name, He used it just the same as I'd use the name Raymond. It was His name to use. It was His authority to operate in. They didn't like it, but we love it because we know who Jesus is. Let me take a 2-minute detour and we'll come back. Much of the Old Testament is written in what the scholars would call a coded form. I'm not talking about the new books, the Bible code and all that. You believe about that, what you want. But the Bible has beautiful patterns in it. If you open your King James Bible to Psalm 119 and you look at the 22 sections, each one of them are labeled over the top with a Hebrew letter because all of the 8 verses in each of those 22 sections begins with the Hebrew letter over the top of that section. The book of Lamentations, a similar pattern, 22 verses in each of the chapters, and it's the Hebrew letters in order at the beginning of each verse. Third chapter of Lamentations, it's 3 verses at a time, 66 verses. The Jews learned this. I read a story not too long ago about a little preschool Hebrew boy that had memorized huge sections of the Torah, the first 5 books of the Bible. The Jews knew so much about the divine arrangement of Scripture. It's startling that these people that read and studied the Word, they missed the Word when He came in flesh. So just keep that in mind and let's go back to what John's talking about. There was this obscure little verse in Leviticus chapter 21, verse 10 in the law, and it said that he that is the high priest among his brethren, upon whose head the anointing oil was poured and that is consecrated to put on the garments, he shall not uncover his head nor rend his clothes. And then we come to the weekend that Jesus is on trial. And Jesus has irritated the Sanhedrin over and over again. The Pharisees hate him. The Sadducees despise him. He's been hauled in now before the high court of Israel, and they can't get him to say anything until Mark records this in 1461. Jesus held his peace and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him and said unto him, "Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" And Jesus, standing face to face with the high priest of Israel, who has never spoken the name of God. His father never spoke the name of the God they pray to. His grandfather never spoke the name of the God that Israel is all about. His great-grandfather never pronounced this name aloud. And Jesus looks at the high priest of Israel and says, "I am, and you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." They might not know who Jesus was, but he knew who he was, and we know who he is. But that's not where it stops. You got to imagine this. Caiaphas is so angered at that moment. He is so angry at this Nazarene who dares to use the holy name of God, the Bible says. And the high priest rent his clothes and said, "What need we any further witnesses? You've heard his blasphemy." They all condemned Jesus to be guilty of death at that precise moment when the holy high priest of Israel lifted up his hands and ripped his garment. He disobeyed the law in Leviticus 21 verse 10. And at that precise instance, the high priesthood of Israel passed from Caiaphas to the prisoner of Caiaphas. Jesus didn't just go to the cross as a victim. He went to the cross as the high priest, bearing a sacrifice for our sins. That wasn't just a murder, that was salvation. That's why the writer of Hebrews, many, many years later, he says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, apostolics, hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Apostolics, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." If you are filled with the Holy Ghost and you've got anything in your belly that would like to get out and worship, now would be a really good time to lift up your voice and speak in tongues. Jesus is in this room right this minute. God is attending General Conference. Jesus is in this room with us. Right now. Now, Jesus has enraged the Sanhedrin many times by using this name. But this time he's done it in a court of law. And so they rush him to Pilate and they demand that he be crucified. And even though you know the story, Pilate is impressed with Jesus, they force him to carry out the crucifixion through political pressure. And Pilate is powerless to save the Nazarene, even if he wanted to. And then we come to the Gospel of John, written at the end of the first century of truth. And he writes these words in 19 and 19. Pilate wrote a title, and he put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in three languages, Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, wait a minute, don't write the King of the Jews. Change it, Pilate. Write, he said, I am King of the Jews. And Pilate, I don't know what he knew about Jesus, suspected about Jesus, or believed about Jesus, but he answered, what I have written, I have written. Literally, what I have written, I will not change one bit. Pilate writes this inscription and has it placed on the cross of Jesus in three languages, Hebrew and Greek and Latin. And it says, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Now, it's just another epitaph to the Greeks and the Romans. They don't really care. But the Bible tells us specifically, as many of the Jews began to gather and look at the inscription over the Galilean, the chief priests suddenly see that they have a problem. They rush to Pilate and they say, don't write it that way. Change it. Say, he said, I'm King of the Jews. And Pilate said, I won't change it. Now, what is the problem that doesn't upset the Romans and doesn't upset the Greeks, but just causes such anxiety and consternation to the Jews? Written over Jesus' head in Hebrew was Yeshua HaNazarai V'melech HaYehudim, Hebrew from right to left. But to the Jewish leaders who were used to studying Scripture, and they were used to studying the beauty of Psalm 119 and the Book of Lamentations and looking at the first letter of verses and paragraphs and the first letter of words, when they looked at those words, they saw something different. This is what they saw. Over the head of Jesus, Yeshua HaNazarai V'melech HaYehudim was YHWH. It was Yahweh spelled out over the head of Jesus as he hung on the cross. Why? Because it wasn't a carpenter that died that day. It wasn't the dead founder of our religion that died that day. It was God himself robed in flesh, shedding his blood. That's why Paul said, take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Apostolics, watch, feed the church of God, because the church, he has purchased it with his own blood. That's why you can be healed tonight, because it wasn't a carpenter's blood. It's the blood of the living, never dying God. even after their enemy is dead. The chief priests are still nervous. Matthew tells us in his account that they come to Pilate and they say, get some Roman guards, secure the tomb. I don't know what Pilate knows. I don't know what he understands, believes, or thinks about Jesus. But I do know what he says. He says, go your way. Make the tomb as sure as you can. I hope he was thinking, if that man said he's going to rise from the dead, chances are he's going to rise from the dead. And so we come to what we now call Easter Sunday morning. You have to understand Easter from the perspective of the disciples. John's looking back 60 years, but when it happened, it was a heartbreak. Their entire lives crumbled at the cross. They thought Jesus was gone. And then this little lady named Mary comes to the tomb in John 20. And the Bible tells us as she stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and she looked into the sepulcher. Been there several times. A flat stone bed where the body of Jesus laid. And she seeth two angels in white sitting. The one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. One at the head and one at the feet. One at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. When Mary looked into the tomb on Easter Sunday morning, she saw the most familiar silhouette in all of Hebrew history. Here's what she saw. A silhouette of a sacred article. A silhouette that represented the Shekinah presence of Almighty God. You know why? Because on that weekend, the Shekinah of Almighty God had been in that tomb. And that's why there was nobody there on Easter Sunday morning. Oh, I wish you'd lift up the name of Jesus that is above every other name. Yes, 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 yes. But the Ella had your daughter, Shaba. Yes, yes. Every Bible scholar and linguist worth their salt will tell you that John's gospel actually ends with chapter 20, and chapter 21 is a postscript. And chapter 20 ends this way. John records the story of the first church service after Jesus' resurrection. The disciples are all there, and Jesus appears to them. Whew, that must have been a moment. Be very, very careful, because there's one disciple who for 2,000 years has retained the name Doubting Thomas. And all he did wrong was he missed the early service. Just saying. And then there's another service. Thomas has talked to the disciples and said, I'm sorry, guys. I saw him die. I know what you're saying, but I have to believe you're delusional, because I saw the crucifixion. And I saw the nails, and I saw the crown of thorns, and I saw the spear. And I just can't believe. In fact, he'd have to appear to me and he'd have to show me the nail prints in his hand. He'd have to show me that spear so I'd know it was him. He'd have to tell me that he's alive. I can't believe it from you. And all of a sudden, Jesus appears in their midst and says, Thomas, Thomas, it's me. And when Thomas realizes the significance of mortal wounds that would kill any human being in the body of a living man who is talking to him, Thomas grabs two words and smashes them together. My Kyrios and my Theos. My master and Almighty God, my Lord and my God. That's the revelation John's writing about at the end of the first century. He's saying to everyone who will ever follow him, don't ever lose this. This is why we preached. This is why we baptized. This is why we sent missionaries. This is why we planted churches, because we weren't just preaching a religion. This is Jesus, my Lord and my God. Oh, but that's not the best part. Jesus says, Thomas, because you've seen me, you have believed. But Thomas, blessed are they that have not seen me and have yet believed. Thomas, there's coming another group of oneness Pentecostals that never walked with me on the shores of the Galilee, and they never sat at a campfire in Judea, but they'll get the revelation just like you. If you got that revelation, would you let it out in your praise and worship the name of Jesus? Yes. Jesus. 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 You don't understand what power you just unleashed in this room when you began to put that revelation together with that name, together with your voice. If you're waiting for something, something is already here. Someone is already here. So shop, hey. Let the hell ahead of you, Oh, let that praise out. Let it ascend to the rafters. Jesus. Jesus. I'm sorry. If you need the Holy Ghost right now in this place, and you have repented of your sins, you've asked God to forgive you for being an unrighteous sinner, and you would love to receive His Spirit and this revelation into your life, you don't even have to come to the front. We'll do that in a minute. But if you'd like to receive the Holy Ghost in an instant of time, you can do it right now. Lift up your hands and begin to worship God. If you know a friend that's beside you that needs the Holy Ghost, for heaven's sake, lay your hand on them and begin to pray in the name of Jesus. Yes! Yes! Brother Herod, Brother Robinette, come on up here real quick. This is why we send missionaries. This is why we plant churches. This is why we preach the gospel. This is why we do what we do and why we are who we are. It's nothing in us. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. These two young missionaries are two of my friends, and we love what they're doing for God. And they are missionaries in Europe, which for years we just kind of despaired. And now Europe is a hotbed of apostolic revival. Brother Herod, how many people have you seen on deputation healed in the name of Jesus this term?
Over 1,500.
Over 1,500 people healed. I'm not talking about we think so. I'm talking about this man puts pictures on his website and everywhere else of people that have been healed. That's the power, not of Nathan Herod. That's the power of the name of Jesus. And that power, you don't understand. It's in this room right now. If that can happen in every kind of little rural church across America, and if that can happen in Spain, what in the world could happen with all these apostolics here tonight? Brother Robinette, how many people have you seen receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost on this deputation?
Over 4,000.
Over 4,000 people in deputation services received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But folks, look at this. All of these missionaries, they've all got people that have received the Holy Ghost. They preach the gospel in places you wouldn't even want to book a hotel room, some of them. They've gone into every kind of nation and city and village and town. And you know why they went? It's not because it's such an easy life being a missionary or there's such a great retirement plan. It's because as soon as we get the name of Jesus in the soil of any country, of any province, of any state, of any city, of any village, the miraculous is unleashed. Now we're going to need you. I'm done. I've got more notes than I could shake a stick at, but I'm finished. But Jesus hasn't even started here tonight. I know of one lady that's going to be baptized at the end of this service. Sister Vonnie Marshall taught a Bible study, 20 minutes, to a precious Hindu lady 2 days ago. And she's going to be baptized in Jesus' name in just a few minutes. That's what we're about. That's what we're about. You say, why do I need to be baptized? Because when the name of Jesus comes in contact with sin, defeat, sickness, death, affliction, addiction, all of that has to flee because Jesus is the one and only name of the one and only God. Right now, I want you to reach out to somebody on either side of you. Put your hand on their shoulder right now. And we're going to pray. Brother Herod, stand on one side for me. Brother Robinette, stand on the other side for me. I want you to lift your hands over this congregation right now.
I want to say something. Last year in our service, there was a prophecy that went forth that there would be a word that would be spoken. In the name of Jesus Christ, I declare this word has been spoken tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.